Good evening to you all, and praise the Lord that He has provided me an opportunity to be back to this assembly after 7 years. I used to come here every year when I was living in Grand Rapids, Michigan, traveling back to India every year. For 2011, we have gone back, and now we are staying there and traveling to different parts of India and visiting evangelists and preaching the word and encouraging the servants of the Lord in their ministry as the Lord wants us to do. So, a few of the people who I talked here when I came, I realized they forgot who I am, and therefore I like to, in very short time, like to reintroduce my wife and I with a few believers from Holland Chapel came to attend the conference you have every year. We were traveling in a motorhome very close to the assembly hall. It broke down, and we towed the motorhome here and attend the conference. We have no transportation to go back. So one of the saints from this chapel at that time loaned us a Lincoln Mercury, or a big car, I forgot who it was. Anyway, we excused everybody together and traveled. And next day we brought the car back and fixed the motorhome and went. So that gave us an opportunity to meet late brother Jerry Fitzgerald, and I began to come here. And that is how I come to know this assembly. And then the last 7 years, due to us being in India, as well as the situations, we were not able to come. So this year when I came, I contacted Danny, and he gave me this evening. And this morning I was able to attend a meeting in Indiana. I drove on 1890 and 67 and 94. I was thinking traffic would be very heavy, but by the grace of God, I did not experience that heavy traffic. But you know, lowest speed I drove was 60 miles an hour. So I came here half an hour early. So I thank again for the believers who are gathered here this evening. And I was born and brought up in a Christian home in India, and I come to know the Lord when I was in college. In high school time onward, I had interest in meetings, but I made the commitment when I was in college in 1971, and the same year I got baptized and started fellowshipping with the believers there. And during my college years also, Lord provided me an opportunity to work among the students along with the campus ministry at that time we had in college in my hometown. So that gave me a desire to preach the word. So I applied for a prospectus from Western Conservative Baptist Theological Seminary in Portland, Oregon. And I received the catalog and I kept that in my desk. When I finished my college, I applied to that school and the Lord gave me the admission. And that's how I was able to come to USA in 1973. I finished school and worked here two and a half years. During that period of work, burden came to our heart to go back to India, so my wife and I, with our four children, returned to India in 1979 and continuously worked among the university students until 89. And in those years, we fellowshipped with the independent meetings, but 89, after an evaluation of 10 years of ministry, I came to realize I am in need of a strong assembly fellowship, a church who can care for the new converts and things like that. So I started attending the assembly in India. So that's how I came to assembly. So in 96, again I came back to USA to help my children to go to school. And 2011, we gone back to India again. And 98 onward, we have started attending Holland Gospel Chapel. And in 2000, they commanded us to do the work every year in India. And in 2011, they have again commanded us to do the full-time ministry. So thus we are laboring in India. Our primary ministry is itinerant ministry of traveling to different assemblies and preaching the word. And we travel as a team so that we are available to the each situation in the assembly. Whatever the evangelist and the leadership of that given assembly needed to do to reach the community according to their plan and their strategy, we are available to them with the literature, with the music, with the preaching, with the teaching. And so we travel. My wife also usually travels with me, and at present she is not with me because my father is 95 and mother is 91. Both people are elderly and feeble, but at the very same time, by the grace of God, they are not lying down on the bed all the time. So with help of my wife, they can manage themselves. So my wife is staying back and doing that ministry because the Lord has instructed us. We have the responsibility to return to our parents instead of leaving that responsibility in the shoulder of the church or shoulder of the nursing home or some other places. So that was the reason she is staying behind and helping. So please remember my travel to do the itinerant ministry. And also we are involved in a gospel aid ministry. That means basically providing prayer and care for the physical aspects of the ministry, such as gospel home, gospel hall, health care, education, widows' help, things like that. So please remember the itinerant ministry and the gospel aid ministry and my wife Molly. And the Lord blessed us with 4 children, and they are all married now. They all come to know the Lord, and they are all baptized. They are all attending assemblies wherever they are in relationship to their family and job. And also God has given them a heart to be active in the local meeting. And also the Lord blessed us with 14 grandchildren right now. And one of my son's grandchild's name is Andrew. Please remember the name Andrew. Andrew was born with a spinal bifida. As a result of that, he is a helpless child. His parents has to care for him. It's like a newborn child. And a newborn child, when you care, you have a hope. You know, the child is growing, he is crawling, he is sitting, he is standing, he is walking, he is running around, he is going to school. But with Andrew, we know nothing of all those things are going to happen. As long as he is alive, he has to be cared for everything and anything. And he cannot eat any food, he cannot do anything. So he is fed through a tube, liquid food, and need attended. His mother is attending him, father is attending him, and many times he has to be taken to emergency situation. But by this time, both parents have learned what to do, how to do, and so the hospital call is less now. So please remember Andrew and the care. Please remember Molly and her ministry with my parents, as well as the base back in India. And please remember the ministry, itinerant ministry and gospel aid ministry we are involved in India, other parts of the world. By this time you have also realized I am the second generation of a four-generation family. My father is still alive at the age of 95. My youngest grandchild is little over a year now. So I am a son, I am a father, actually I am a husband, a son-in-law, and father, father-in-law, and grandfather. So therefore, I see a lot of the situations in the homes. And during this trip, I have observed and learned a couple things. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ told in the Gospels, a new wine is not kept in an old wineskin. Old wine is not kept in a new wineskin. Both are set there. So I am finding now, being an old driver, not eligible to drive new cars. And so things like that. A few years ago, my mom asked me to attend a wedding. Because of my schedule conflict, I was unable to attend. And that made my mom so upset. And yesterday night, I told one of my sons to travel with me to Canada. And he cannot also come with me because of his schedule conflict. So immediately I remembered, you know, the things comes like that. So how do we face it? We have to accept the reality. Also, we have a responsibility to train our children and our grandchildren in a way that they walk before the Lord to please Him, to bring joy in His heart, to bring delight for Him. And that was the heart Job had. When we read the book of Job in chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, we can see Job being a great man, a godly man, and also a servant of God. Because he was the greatest man in the East. But then that is because of his wealth in the field, in the ranch, in the area of business, in the family. You know, he had 10 children. And with the family and grandchildren, many, many servants. So he was immensely wealthy man. But at the very same time, he was also a man was in perfect life, walking in upright, and feared God and turned away from evil. But when God looked him, God did not see him as the greatest man in the East. Rather, he saw him as a unique person in the whole world. In verse 8, he is saying that, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? So God there is not considering and not mentioning, not saying anything about the wealth of Job, but only his character. And on the basis of that character, God is saying he is a unique person, not in the East, but in the whole world. There is none like him. He is my servant. God is very excited to tell who Job is. When we introduce people, we like to introduce our supervisors. How many of you like to introduce the janitor in your company to a friend, to a neighbor, to an important person? Unless somebody very asks very specifically, you don't even mention about that person. Not only you, that's same with me also. You know, back in Kerala, in India, During the election time, politicians visit home, canvassing election. And if it is a member of a legislative assembly or a parliament of India, come for election campaign, we will greet him, invite him to the home, and give him a chair to sit, and give him some tea to drink, and tell, you know, this is my father, this is my son, so and so. But I never tell the man who come to do some menial work in my compound and say, oh, this is my so and so. But Job, but God is introducing Job as who? Not as a rancher who was wealthy in the east. No. He's simply saying, he is my servant, and he is not even mentioning anything of the world accepted standard, rather saying the inner quality Job has developed and revealed, and God approved and accepted and saying, he is my servant. Because that is what God cares. Now, what is the value Job had? Did Job consider it very significantly, or did he consider very important to increase the wealth? He was least bothered about that. He was not even concerned about that. Why? Because he knows these are the things I need, and my Father in heaven knows my need. Therefore, I don't need to be concerned about that. And he knew that very well. You know, some of the things what is revealed in the New Testament is also revealed in the Old Testament to individuals, not as a teaching. For example, Moses brought the teaching of tithe, but Abraham gave tithe long time before. Naomi told her daughters-in-law, you go back to your father, mother, and settle yourself. Find rest, which means get married and settle yourself. Why? Because that's again the plan of God, for younger widows to be married, to love their husband, to have children, to make home. So that is but that revelation came to us only from Paul in the book of Timothy. So here, Lord said in Matthew, your Father in heaven knows your need, and he is providing sufficient food for the birds and providing beauty for the lilies. And how much he will for you? And Job knew that. And therefore he was least concerned. How do we know? Because in verse 5, we read like this, and it was so when the days of their fasting were gone, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be. What did Job say? It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart. Job did not say they sinned and they cursed God. He didn't say that. But he is thinking there is a remote possibility. If there is in that remote possibility, if it happened, he wants reconciliation takes place between God and his children. So he valued the spiritual quality and spiritual enrichment and spiritual richness and standard in his children more than the material accumulation or wealth they can gain. You know, when they come for the feast to the family, it takes days to complete that feast. They need to travel from their own home to this particular house, and they have to travel back, and then Job is calling them again. They have to come back. So I think at least a week is spent on just one feast. The whole week, whatever need to be done in the farm, in the cattle, with the servants, managing and distributing job, in all those things, naturally there is defect. And if you are in a business, you know that. If your personal presence is not in the sight, there's something will go wrong, which will cost you money, and you will lose some profit. And therefore, you make sure that somehow you reach in every site and make sure it's done properly so that your profit will be better. So Job was not concerned, and he was not scolding his children, not rebuking his children, not reminding his children and asking, don't you understand how much your mom and I worked hard in order to establish what we have today? And you guys are sitting back and relaxing and not caring at all. No, he is not talking. But rather he is thinking what was going on in the conversation. What was the thought behind the words and actions of his children and the family in that gathering? Now, Job had a very faithful servant who was with him. And he always received a report from those servants. And we read that in the verse following, the same chapter. You continue to read, you will find that how in a circumstance of most unfavorable situation, instead of escaping from their master, they are running toward the master, not running away from the master, rather running toward the master to bring the report. Not a report of excitement, but a report of failure. Still, their loyalty and faithfulness and devotion and respect brought them to Job. And so those men definitely would have a report what happened in those function of feasting, gathering together. And there was no report saying, you know, when your children were home with you, went to the Sunday school, and they memorized the scripture, sang song loudly, and prayed and win the prizes. Now, you know, they are given those values away. Now they are trying to get themselves accepted by other neighbors so they can look cool. No, there's no such report. You know, when they were with you in the home, they only drank Coke and 7-Up and water. Now they are drinking, you know, the colorful things. No, there's no such report. But still Job is concerned. What were they thinking? What was the thoughts? There was no conflict. No complaints on any family. No complaints on any children. Still, Job was thinking, what was the thinking of my children? You know, you can say very religious, very pious, very God-honoring vocabulary. Speak those things. One day my grandson called me and said, Grandpa, what is the scripture passage you are going to ask when we all come together to your home? See, isn't that good question? See, he wanted to study and get ready. But the problem is, who was really making that phone call? Is he or somebody else? Previous year, this boy did not get the prize from me. Another son's child received the prize. So, mom found what an embarrassment to my son in the group. So mom said, Mom said, you call grandpa and ask so you can study. So, you know, it appears the motivation is study well, prepare well, and come and take the quiz and get the prize. But the real reason is, last time my child did not get. I'm going to make sure this time my child is going to get. See? But the vocabulary was very good. Question, the request was very nice, relevant, seriousness. But the motivation was totally wrong. So, see, this daughter-in-law clapped hand, smiled, encouraged, but deep in her heart, there was a small disappointment. My child did not get the prize. So that is why Job was asking the question. He was asking the question, what is in their heart? So he is saying, you have to come home. You have to be here. And not only, see, he is not only wasting one more day. Also, he is spending resources. He is giving burnt offering for each child. You know, approximately 10 children with their spouse, 20 people. And if they have minimum 2 children, 40, around 60 people, minimum. And when you have that many burnt offering is highly expensive and also very laborious. But he was least bothered. You know, already he lost money in the ranch. Already lost money in expenses. And now he is willing again to give up some more funds. For what? Because he took seriously the work of his children more relevant and important. And that is something going to stay. You know, God appeared, when we read the verse 8, we can understand God values only that character. God did not valued Job on the basis of who he is in the sight of the people. But God said he is an upright man and he feared God and a perfect person who turned away from evil. The character Job developed is what is valued by God. And he knew that. This is what God values. And he wanted to have that values for his children. And that is the reason he is willing to go. See, as I said, I'm a second generation from a fourth generation family. And I see that I have a responsibility not only to raise my children, and I have done what I knew at that time. And by the immense grace of the Lord, they all know the Lord now. Now they are raising their children. But I also have a responsibility to carry on the ministry to raise my grandchildren too. Because when Moses wrote to the nation of Israel the covenant, he said, you have to teach your children and their children what is in the law of the Lord. And that has been done in the life of Abraham. And also that was done in the life of Timothy. Timothy has learned from his mother and grandmother. So, 2016, as I was reading the book of Proverbs, I came across a verse in chapter 3. And in that, it says, honor the Lord. Many times, honor the Lord make us to think, use the vocabularies in such a way that we respect him. But in that particular passage, it has nothing to do with the vocabulary you're using. Well, let's read that in chapter 3, verse 9 and verse 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So here, how can you honor the Lord? With the resources you have. And if you do that, God will also consider that and take care of you. But if you don't do that, you know what God is saying? If you don't honor me, if you don't bring the tithe in the temple to provide food for the ministry there, you are robbing God. So when you fail to do your responsibility, not only you are dishonoring God, but also you are robbing God. Oh. So, this year when I came, I invited all my children and explained to this. And my grandchildren took that very seriously. So, like this, God has called us to be with our children and grandchildren, to be with our family, so that we can train them and we can care for them. We can reveal to them the heart of God in such a way, in their turnaround and minister to us. Naomi told her daughters-in-law, instead of coming with me to Bethlehem, even though I am widow and I am old, definitely there's a lot of benefit if you come with me, but I rather see you go back to your family and get married and settled there. Why? Because she knew, being a Gentile woman, especially being a Moabite woman, they have no prosperity or no hope in their land. So their future is dim. So she was more concerned about their future than her future. So there is a heart again, you see, a care for a new generation. Not only she is caring in that way, but also she is helping to understand this is the plan of God. Even though she is not verbalizing in that way, we know from the scripture, this is the plan of God for the younger widows to get married. So this woman, even though she had left Bethlehem and gone to foreign country, she had a heart of seeking what God is doing to his people. And when she heard God visited Bethlehem and provided the food, she decided to come back. Now, during that process of time, she experienced difficulty in her life. As a result of that, she said, you know, the hand of God is against me. He has dealt me bitterly. Even though she knew Lord is a kind God, she told her that. God will reward your kindness and he is kind. You have been kind to me. She knew that. But in her own personal life, she is now discouraged, depressed, and she knew there is no way she can help this woman. But at the very same time, Ruth, who came to know the Lord through this mother-in-law, said, "Your God, your people, your house is mine. I am not going to leave you. I am going to come with you. I do not want to go back to my people as my sister-in-law has gone." You know, she not only gone back to her people, she also gone back to her God. I don't want that. I want a living God. So she walked with her and she went with her. The next thing you see, we see, she is saying, "I want to go and glean from the field." So her ministry of caring for her mother-in-law, encouraging, supporting her mother-in-law, and working hard and providing food for her mother-in-law, made her mother-in-law to say, later on, God is kind. Now she is again experiencing the kindness of God. Look, that child received the training, not from her home, but from her house where she came. The way of the Lord made her to commit herself, not seeing any future in the material sense. You know, she won't get the property unless she can marry. And there is no chance for marriage. So she didn't come for the property, family property, that she won't get. She only came because she loves the Lord and loves her mother-in-law. And also her commitment of God. See, that daughter-in-law received whatever the training from her mother-in-law made her to be a competent person to comfort and restore the relationship of God to Naomi and restore the joy in the heart of Naomi back, and she is now happy. And now she is again seeking how she can be get married. And she found a way and she gave that recommendation and married. And then the child came. Oh, she was happy. And you know, in chapter 4 we read about Ruth. She is better than 7 sons. Now who is saying that? Mother-in-law is not saying, you know, to the people who come to the name, my daughter-in-law is great. So that when those people will go, she won't yell at her. That's not the reason. And mother-in-law is not saying nobody. It was said by the neighbors. Neighbors said, Naomi, your daughter-in-law Ruth is 7 times better than 7 children, you know, better than 7 boys you have. Look, physically, materially, spiritually, she enriched Naomi. From what? From the growth she received from her mother-in-law. So, parents have a tremendous responsibility. Not only to raise your children with education, food, clothing, transportation. You know, that is what is Elimelech did. Elimelech said, I am going to take care of my children. And I want them to have the best school, best education. And if I live here, the famine is going to destroy everything. Therefore, I have to move. And Boaz said, no, I'm not going away. I'm going to stay here. And we find that he became a mighty, wealthy man 10 years later. Now, Elimelech lost everything. So the decisions we make has to have a foundation in the scripture. Why? They should not leave their land because they are called as a nation by God to reveal who God is to the nations. And in order to do that, they have to be in their land. That is where the temple is. That's where the tabernacle is. That's where the priests are. That's where the Levitical system. That's where the festival. That's where the offering. They cannot do any of these things away from this land. So, Elimelech's decision was a decision to die spiritually. It's called fellowship death. You know, we all know about death physically, spiritually, and eternally. But there is a fellowship death also. That is what is father telling to the eldest son. This my son was dead. Now he is alive. Well, he was not dead. He has gone away from the... Once he left the house, until he returned, he was dead. Dead in what way? In relationship. The moment he repented and turned to the house, father saw him far away and ran toward that son and brought him home and gave him the shoe, gave him the coat, and gave him a ring and prepared a feast and said, it is necessary to rejoice. So, as a parent, as a father, mother, God is calling us to provide spiritual richness to our children. And may the Lord bless you greatly so that your children and your grandchildren will walk in the way of the Lord, and the Lord will say, look, my people out there. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for this opportunity. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Father, Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, thank you for this evening. Thank you that you have provided a time to be together, to look in your word and understand the responsibility you have given to us for our family. Help us to value that responsibility. Every time we make a decision, help us to decide according to your revelation so that even though it looks unable and unsuccessful, but in the time, it will flourish and it will bring honor to you and it will bring joy to you and bring glory to you and also blessing to us. Thank you, Father, that you have given us in the scripture examples of the people who have done things little differently than people usually do, but found great in thy sight and blessed by you. So help us and our children and our generations to honor you and praise you. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just remember you guys were squeezed in there like sardines going back.